Let's turn over to Colossians 1:19. Glory to God. So good. So good to just know Him. Man, it just amazes me how you can read this book over and over and you get something new from it every time. How is that? I've read, books written by men. You have too. And you go through it, and you might go through it again or highlight certain parts, and you might get a few more things out of it. You can pull from it. But after a while, it's just not the same. The Word of God is inexhaustible. Every time you sit down, you can get more and more out of it because it's eternal. It is inspired by the Spirit of the living God, and He doesn't have any end. We'll never plumb the depths of Him, so this Word has no end. Hallelujah. Colossians 1, verse 19. Colossians 1, verse 19. It says, "For it pleased the Father that in Him," talking about Jesus, "all the fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him whether on things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross." Yeah. Amen. Let's read through that again. Verse 19, "For it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross." Because of what He did, He's reconciled us. He's reconciled the whole world to Himself. It's just up to them to receive it. The gift has been given. The price has been paid. But every man has to reach out and take it. Every man has to reach out and take it. If I were to say, "Here you go, here's this pen." Now, if she doesn't reach out, it's not going to be hers. But if she does reach out and take it, now is there any trying to reach out? Here, give that to me. Now try to take this pen. Try to take it. You could try to grab at it, but there is no trying to take it. You either take it or you leave it. God has reached out to every man and said, "I've given this free gift." What it must have been like that day when He died. The kids were watching some cartoon yesterday, showing when Jesus died, and it was the Easter story. But, the guards are looking up, and the thunder's cracking, and it's just, the sky goes black. It just got me thinking about it again, looking at it. What must it have been like when He went? The Bible says, the earth split, all this stuff happened. And that one guard said, "Surely this is the Son of God." What happened that day? It was apparent to people looking on that this is not just an ordinary man.
That's right.
Anybody ever seen The Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe or read that book? C.S. Lewis? He was a Christian. That's obviously, it's an allegory of Christ. But that puts it in a different light when you see Aslan lay down his life. This powerful lion, obviously like Jesus, when He comes and for the worst of the bunch, the person that was Edward or whatever, he betrayed everybody, he did everything wrong, yet the king went in the middle of the night to lay down his life for the worst of the bunch. It makes it so vividly clear. Powerful. Laid down. They beat him, they shaved him, they mocked him, they scourged him, and here he is, all powerful. They all know it. And at the beginning, all these, little imps and stuff, they're all ugly and whatever, just like the devil's kingdom, are in there. They don't want to get too close because they know he's more powerful than him. But after a while, they realize they're pushing him. He's not fighting back. He's not himself. He's doing something different. Why isn't he pushing back? Why isn't he doing anything? And pretty soon then they bind him. Well, they couldn't do that if he hadn't done it of his own will. And they knew it. But they're like, he's doing something, and he's doing something stupid. We have him. He's messing up. He's playing into our trap. Why would he do this? He's a fool. And they call it, he's a fool. All this. We see this so vividly, you know, in a different story. This is exactly what happened with Jesus. They mocked him. They scourged him. There's no way those people could take him. I don't care how many guards they had and whatever. When they came to get him, they said, who are you looking for? Jesus. I'm he. I am. Boom. They all fell down. They couldn't take him. Why did he do that? For you and me, sitting right here. We've heard that so many times it becomes a cliche, but unless that becomes personal to us and we say, Jesus, you did that for me. I was nothing without you. I was the worst person. I don't care how good of a life we lived. We are still far from where we needed to be, and we did not deserve this whatsoever. But he came and walked down that path for us, and he did not have to. They could not take him. He was looking down and seeing they're going to need it. That is humbling. We're gonna meet him face to face. See him. Look in his eyes. I've heard Brother Hagin saw many, you know, had many experiences seeing Jesus in visions where he was basically, you know, it's real as far as, it's not like you just close and see a picture. I mean, visions where for an hour and a half he's stalking with Jesus. He said when he saw him, it was like looking into his eyes was like just wells of liquid love. Is the way how he put it. Just like you look into it, it's just deep. Just like in the way he looks at you. What it must be like to look into his eyes. We're going to look into his eyes one day. This is not a fairy tale. This is not, we are here on this earth. If we can get this across in our hearts, not just, yeah, we, you know, go to church, whatever, but we see it, that just like we look at some story that was written to kind of give us an allegory, like The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, how that's a different world. It's so clear there, where this world was entrapped by, you know, a queen that was wicked and everything was bad and all that, and that there had to be a sacrifice made, and it had to be done within the legal realm of that world. It couldn't break the law. Jesus, and in that sense, that Aslan in that story could not come apart from the legality that had been set up, and God could not break his own laws. He had to come in the legality. But we can see it so clearly when we see another story that there's this world and people are bound and somebody had to come. And within that realm, he made an exchange and now everybody's free. We get bombarded with so much in this world that we forget, well, that's a story. That's often some other thing, but this is real life. We have bills to pay and we have a job to go to, and that's fantasy. No, that's much closer to reality than many people know. We are in this world. We are on this planet called Earth. There is a God, and he did send his son, and he did die on a cross for us. And there were witnesses. There are more witnesses to that fact than nearly any other historical account. There says 500 people saw him at once. And we have this written so that we can believe on what he did. And that we needed a Savior and that we have eternal life because of what he did. Have. Now we're just waiting for heaven. We have a relationship. Yeah, we're going to live forever, but eternal life. We have the life of God in us. Because something happened when we believed on him. Because we were reconciled to him and we accepted it. And because we accepted it, because of the blood of his cross. You know, Christianity is a bloody religion. People have gotten away from this. But Jesus shed his blood. He died and was resurrected for us. We want to take that out. But we're going to see it. The Bible mentions that over and over. It's like we've gone past that. We're too civilized for that. Well, if he didn't shed his blood, we're not sanctified and saved. So we better know something about what he did. Because that's a legality. Something had to be shed. You know, when Adam and Eve sinned, they killed, there was an animal killed for that. Because of our wrong deeds and because we've missed it, there had to be bloodshed, and that ultimately was the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. This is real. I know I'm preaching to the choir, but this can become more real to us walking out of here today than it ever has been. When we walk out of here knowing what Jesus did for us, knowing that our time here in this realm is short. And we don't take the things of this realm so heavy and it weighs on us. We have to realize that it is a short time we have here in this realm. And we will. There is a spiritual realm. That's where everything came from. That's where we're going back to. That's where heaven is. There's spiritual beings around us right now. There are angels. There are demons. But there is a spiritual realm. This is all real. People say that's fantasy. No, it's the Word of God. Amen. It's real.
Right.
It's real.
Amen.
We're in a battle right now.
Right now.
Amen.
Amen.
But we've won it. Jesus, our King, has won it. He said, just follow me. You can't lose.
That's right. That's
you can't lose.
Right.
Glory to God. When we line up with Him and walk, knowing that the King, the captain of our salvation, has gone on and He gave us everything we need, and He set up angels on our side to do our bidding, to do what we say. When we speak the Word of God, they're going to make it happen.
Hallelujah.
We'll watch what we say. When we know what we need to say is just line up what Jesus said. I'm going to just agree with Him. He's the King. I'm only here for a short time. Why should I let something that happens in this natural realm get me off my course when I am not of this world? I'm in it, but I'm not of it. We got to see it that this is a temporary world. We can see it so clearly when we see certain shows and whatever. Yeah, you know, when those kids, they were just in Narnia. You can see it so clearly. They're going to be out. So it doesn't. Why would they get so concerned about the clothes they were wearing and whatever? Because they're going to be out of it. It's so easy. But that's exactly the same thing with us. We are in a temporary realm. He did rise. That is the central event that's happened in this world.
That's right.
And we are going to look back. What we do going forward centers up on that. He's given us something to do. We do it, and then we're going to step off and see Him, and we're going to look back going, Lord God. Man, I had this. There's this time. At Rhema. Every Tuesday we would have, or Tuesday and Thursday, I think it was just Tuesday, we had exaltation. We would come in after one of the classes and sing some songs, and there would just be a time of encouragement. Usually Mrs. Hagan would do that, but Pastor Hagan was there, and he was preaching on some things, and he was talking about some of these things, just about the reality of our walk and the reality of our call and what we're doing for God. And people, it was just, there was a strong, just get serious. Don't mess around. Don't play around with stuff. Don't play around with certain things you know you ought not to be and you don't have the time. And there was just something that fell in there. People were on their knees. There was just a presence there. That is not wrong to get consecrated with God. No, that doesn't bias anything with our getting us to be a Christian, but we want to walk worthy of Him. And it was just this, yes, God, I don't want to mess with certain things. And I was sitting in my chair, and as the lights came on, I don't know what it was, but it was like you saw all these people on their knees. And as the lights came on, it was something that I saw. This is similar to what's going to happen when people realize what's really going on in this earth. You know, like on a movie set, all of a sudden the lights dim and people look around and go, this is what it was about. This is the reality. You mean this is what was really going on, and this, what we thought was so real. It's hard to explain spiritual things sometimes, but it was like I was just watching and all of a sudden it was like people, when they realize the things they've run after, and they didn't look, I mean, Christians, non-Christians, but people that have spit on him and said, there is no God. I don't believe that. I reject it. When the lights come up and we realize this thing that everybody takes so seriously is really just something short, oh, people are going to be, I mean, the tears and the people that are going to say, oh, my Lord, my God, but it's too late. It's too late. Hallelujah. We know the truth. We don't have anything to fear. When we step off into eternity, we're with him. I mean, it doesn't get much better than that.
Right.
Don't ever fear dying. For a Christian, that's nonsense.
Yeah.
There is nothing to fear. For the person that doesn't know God, there is something to fear.
Yeah.
But
right.
This is real. What we're celebrating today is the resurrection of him that has given us all ability to be in his presence, all ability to do any of the other things we're talking about, to live with him. Go up to just a couple verses up in verse 13.
Matt.
He has delivered us. 1 Corinthians 1:13. Colossians 1:13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. He's delivered us from the power of darkness. This is what he did. And conveyed us, or translated us, into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through what? His blood. Through his blood. He made a trade. For us. No joke. No joke. That is God's only son. People say, how is that possible? What did he give up? He became a man. Forever. I'm not saying he's not God. He is, but he is in the form of a man. He identified with us forever. Anytime you see him, he's in bodily form. I'm not saying he's a man. Get what I'm saying? He is all man and all God at the same time, just like when he walked the earth. He identified with mankind forever.
Yeah.
When you see in the Bible, the man Christ Jesus.
That's right.
Because he didn't just, when we say, you know, people, have you ever had this question? Well, what did he give up? I mean, he came to earth and says God gave his only son, but then, you know, he died and he rose and he went back. What's the big deal? Anybody ever had that thought? Just me. No, he gave up something. He identified with us forever. Forever. When we see him, Lord, you did this for me? Why? Because he loved us. He gave it up for us. He laid down his life for us. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption. Notice that. We have redemption through his blood. Not going to. We have it.
That's right. It's ours.
It's ours now. It's not just when we get off into heaven that we're just sitting here waiting and we're going to get beat up left and right. No, we are in this realm. And there are a whole host of witnesses that are cheering us on. Saying, go for it. You don't have much longer. I don't know what they can tell and not tell. But they can say, we're here, they're not. You can't come back. Once we see the reality, we can't say, oh, man, now I know what's going on. Let me go back and have another shot because I'm going to run it different. I'm going to take some things seriously. I'm going to make some different decisions. Can't. Once we're out of this body is the license to be here and the license to influence this world.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
That's why what we do is so important, because we give God license to do things, or by our words and our actions, we let the enemy influence things. Don't ever be a tool. We all have been. But when you go off on your spouse or something, something comes up and you just let it rip. These thoughts come to your head and you just let, you know you shouldn't say it, but you just let your mouth go. Who are we yielding to at that point? We are destroying our spouse or our children, yielding to somebody that wants to destroy him to them. Right? We are being a tool. Do you remember Peter? How he yielded to the Holy Spirit one minute and then he yielded to enemy the next. He said, Jesus asked him, you know, who do you say I am? And he said, you're the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. And then I believe it was afterwards. It wasn't too long after. It was before, you know, whichever way one of them happened before the other one. Then he's saying, you don't want to go. Far be it from you. I think it was to Jerusalem or whatever. And Jesus rebukes him and says, get thee behind me, Satan. Same guy. Yielded to the Holy Spirit one minute, yielding to the devil the other minute. Or, you know, demonic. In that case, it probably was Satan. He's trying to get at Jesus. But this is real stuff. I don't know about you, but it's exciting. When people are bored out of their minds going through, what else is there? What is there? Well, if we realize what is really going on, it's exciting. It's invigorating. We're living for God Almighty. We're infecting eternity. When we get out of this realm, we're going to look back and go, oh, that's what was really going on. And the parts that we yielded to him, we're going to be so thankful that we did. Yeah. We're going to look back and be so thankful saying, I yielded. I did what I needed to do for the kingdom and I see what happened. And then we're going to see other parts. Jesus will wipe away every tear, but we'll look back and go, brother, what was I off doing that for? That meant nothing at that point. Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank God. He is so good to us. He has redeemed us, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. I go down to verse 21 there. Colossians 1, verse 21. And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled. Hallelujah. We were once alienated, but we've been reconciled.
That's right.
In the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy, blameless, and above reproach in his sight. In the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, blameless, and above reproach in his sight. Let's read verse 23. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. We don't have time to go off on that. But there are many verses like this. Brother Hagin always used to say, let the Bible speak for itself. Don't try to make the Word say something it doesn't. If you see something in the Word and it doesn't line up with your theology, then your theology's wrong or you have a misunderstanding. But don't try to skew things into some mold that we think we understand, because that's where error comes from.
That's right.
If you see something and you don't understand it, shelve it. What's he talking about there? He says, if indeed you continue in the faith, he says, verse 22, in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight, if indeed you continue in the faith. If indeed you continue in the faith. What does that mean? You can get out of the faith.
Right.
We don't have time to go off on this, but there are lots of scriptures like this and you'll see it. But so it says, grounded and steadfast and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel. What's he saying? You can move away from the hope of the gospel. Is that possible? Yes, it is.
Yes, amen.
Because we have a free will. Which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Short answer, if you look in the Bible, you'll see lots of things that say nobody can pluck you out of the Father's hand, so on and so forth, that imply there's nothing, once you become saved, there's nothing that can ever happen. Then you see scriptures like this that imply you can move away from your salvation. Well, what's right? You have whole bodies that will say, nope, you can never, once you're saved, that's it. And then people will say, you're saved one day, you're lost the next, which is true. Well, it's in the middle. You have a free will. And we, just like we can be saved, if you walk away and say, forget it, I don't believe this anymore, I'm done, you can do that. But if we ever did that, we would be so, and there are people that have done that, I don't believe there's a lot, they are so hardened that you can look them in the eye and say, you're going to hell, and they say, I know it, and I don't care. They're seared. They're gone. Yep. They don't care anymore. But it's not something you lose, like, you know, I lost my wallet. Oh, no, I did the wrong thing, and now I'm going to hell. No, it's not like that. We don't have time to go into it, but, you know, maybe sometimes we'll teach on that. But the Word, when you see those scriptures that, you know, there's a whole amount of scriptures that say that to one end or the other, you can't ignore them. If we ignore them, we start to tunnel ourselves, and if we start doing that, we get ourselves ripe for error because we're closing our eyes to stuff. No, the Bible is in harmony. Amen? So the short answer is, if you ever got to the point where you were going to go away, you would know it, you wouldn't care, and if you still care, you're not there. Period. So don't worry about it. Don't let the devil use that as a tool and say, well, you know, you've messed up big time. You're not going to heaven now. If you care and you're sensitive, you haven't lost your salvation.
That's right.
You have to throw it away. You have to spit in God's eye and walk away and say, that's it.
Yeah.
You can't sin it away because he's already forgiven you. He's already made you new on the inside. It's not a sin issue. You've been made new on the inside. You had to be recreated. So now you have to die again. That's not like you die and be recreated and keep going back and forth. See, it's not about your sin. Jesus took care of the sin issue, and because of that, you became a new person on the inside. If you became a new person on the inside, that's the part of you that matters. You're right with God. You have to say, I don't care about that anymore. I'm walking out. Forget it. I don't believe it anymore. Walk away. Oh, yeah, but I don't care. I'm walking away. I couldn't care less. Yes, I'm going to do everything I can to work against God from here on out. There are people that cross that line. I don't believe there's a lot, but don't worry about it. But anyway, we're not preaching on that, but I didn't want to ignore that. We're not here to ignore stuff, but sometimes, you know, we don't want to just get off track of our main focus today. Verse 21, and you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, blameless, and above reproach in his sight. We were once alienated. We were once, you know, completely messed up, but he's reconciled us because of his blood. Skip down to chapter 2, verse 11.
Amen.
Chapter 2, verse 11. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him. When he was raised, we were raised. Through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. This is critical. We got to believe that he was raised from the dead. This is not like, well, you know, may or may not have happened. If people try to skirt past this, well, we don't know. If you don't know for sure, you're not saved.
That's right. Come on.
If we don't believe the gospel, we're not saved. You're fooling yourself. And people also, we'll see this, they try to act like you can get to God without Jesus. No. No, Jesus is the only way. There is one mediator between God and man. You don't tell me when I'm forgiven. No man tells you that. No man tries to control your life. No, there's one mediator, and anybody that tries to take that place is walking on thin ice.
Yeah.
There's one mediator.
That's right.
Jesus.
Amen.
Between God and man.
That's right.
Amen. Who is verse 12, buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised through him, or with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead, and you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements which was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross.
Yeah.
What's he saying? Jesus took the way. He made the way. He took the place of all the things that said, you have to do this, you have to do this, you have to do this. This is the way to get to God. And if you do this, and if you do this, then you can be right. Jesus, he nailed that to the cross and said, I am the way. You come to God through me. And you can't buy it. You can't earn it. It's only this blood that was shed. And you either believe it, you either accept it, or you reject it, but you cannot earn it. This is the gospel. We can't do it. He did something no person could do on this earth. He had to come and live spotless. He never yielded to Satan. He was born of a virgin. That's not optional either. That's part of the legality in this realm. He could not be tainted. This isn't a bunch of fairy tales that, well, God can do whatever he wants, and here's the... You know, people are so irreverent and so ignorant.
That's right.
Well, the big fairy in the sky and blah, blah, blah. They're just exposing their ignorance. Good Lord, they're going to have to stand before the creator of all the universe someday.
That's right.
But they don't know. No, there's reasons why he had to come and be born of a virgin. There's reasons why he had to fulfill all righteousness, because it's legal. He couldn't just come in and strip Satan of something that he legally got.
Amen.
He has to follow the law. He's righteous. He's just. He can't come in and... That's why he can't just break the law in our lives anytime. We say certain things and disagree with them and say, this is the way it's going to be. And we want him to come in and break that. He can't do it. If he were to do it, he's unjust. So what do we need to do? Just agree with what he said.
Amen.
Keep our mouth shut if we don't have anything better to say, and agree with him. If you're in a courtroom and you have an attorney and he's telling you, this is what you're going to say, all right? You'd be wise to listen to him. I don't care that you have the most high-powered attorney ever. But you start the trial and you get up and go, I did it. I'm sorry. I'm guilty of sin, and go up there. You're done. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what you do. You just basically, by your words, you're done. They don't care what the attorney says now. It's like it's over. You've admitted. So when Satan comes to accuse us or push us or whatever, we ought not to, in our life, we ought not to agree with him. We'd say, I'm not saying anything but what he told me to say. My advocate, my attorney, Jesus.
Amen.
What is that? That's the word. We ought to just say what he says and agree with him, because Satan can't do anything with that. What's he trying to do when he puts pressure on you? He's trying to get you to break, to yield to him, so that he has legal access into your life.
That's right. That's good.
So we just shut it. Say, I'm not doing that. I'm yielding to God. I'm going to say only what he tells me to say. May not look like it, but I'm agreeing with him because he's right. We stay there. He can't do anything. But there are legalities why Jesus had to come this way. And because he shed his blood and did what he did, we can legally then be right with God. Legally. Legally, because he was a man and came and lived perfect, he was able to shed his blood, and we are legally able to come in. The first man, Adam, messed up. But Jesus didn't. He came in, and he was our Savior. He was our rescuer. He did it right. And he took the handwriting of requirements, which was against us, which was contrary to us. He took it out of the way and nailed it to the cross. Thank you, Lord. Let's go over to Ephesians. Read a few scriptures there.
Good word.
Ephesians 2, verse 1. It says, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. We were dead. We were dead. Dead spirit. You say, we're always walking around. No, in the inside. Spiritual man, dead. That's what matters. We were dead, dead spiritually. Verse 2, in which you once walked to the course of this world. Notice that. Notice this language, the course of this world. Do you see this? This is so temporary. This isn't all there is. This is a realm. But the Bible says we're citizens of heaven. We're here temporarily. We're just walking through, passing through. We're a vapor. We're a mist. Gosh, it's just been so clear to me recently, just more, so much more real. The physics and everything that God set up in the natural realm. I mean, you could make a computer simulation that does the same type of things, and they do this, right? They have video games and whatever that it's governed by a certain amount of physics and certain interactions and whatever. Well, if we can do that as humans, God's created that. We call these things laws. God set it up a certain way. We operate according to these things in this realm. But it's not all there is. There's something much more that the realm that created this realm, when God called it into existence, he was. Where was he? He's in the spiritual realm. It's more real than this realm. Just like we would say we're real, that's just a game. Now, this isn't a game. I'm not meaning that. But if you had a computer thing, you could see everything operating. Well, that's not reality. This is reality. Well, it's the same thing. This natural world is not reality. It's real. It's not fake, but it's not the highest reality. It's not. This was created somehow. Amen. By the Word of God. If this becomes more real to us, it changes everything. Your faith will grow because when curveballs come into your life in the natural, you can separate yourself. You don't deny it. You say, yes, that's real, but there's a higher power that's operating here, and I'm going to look to His Word, and it can change this physical world because that's how it was created in the first place. Amen. If He could change it to begin with, He has no problem doing it now, but he's got to do it legally. How does that happen? We agree with him. Give him access here, and things can change.
That's right.
Amen. Our faith could go up. We could say that none of these things move me. Yes, I see that. Yes, this is happening. Yes, the doctors say this. Yes, the financiers say this. But I know God, and I'm going on with him.
Right.
He sent his son. I have access to him. I will not fear. I will not look at just this. I'm not denying this. This is real, but this, the spiritual realm, is more real. Verse 2, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Satan, the god of this world, the Bible calls him in a different place. The spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom we also once conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. But God, so we were messed up. We didn't deserve anything. We were dead. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. We didn't deserve a darn thing. We were wallowing, but God saw through and he said, I see them. I love them. They're better than this. They just don't know it. I'm going to send my son. I'm going to sacrifice for them anyway because I love them so much. They don't know what they're doing. Some of them are going to reject me, but some of them will accept me. Those are the ones I'm doing it for.
That's right. Amen.
I want them all to come in, but I know they won't. You think it breaks our heart sometimes when people don't come around? How much do you think it breaks his heart? That's his child. Imagine your child turning their back on you forever. Somebody tainted their minds.
Yep.
This is exactly the way it is. Imagine you have, and I've shared this before, but imagine having a child and somehow they got into the wrong hands. Let's say they were kidnapped. And they were fed lies about you their whole life. Somebody took them and said stuff bad about you their whole life to their, your child. And then they somehow were to come back and saw you. And all they know about you is that you don't like them. You're a mean person. You don't have anything good for them. And here's this child that you love with all your heart. And they don't want to have anything to do with you. And you look at them and say, yeah, but you don't know. I love you. They won't listen to anything you say. Why? Because they've been brainwashed, because they've been tainted. That is exactly what the enemy has done to the children of God, to the children of Adam. Do you see this happening today? There is no God. Or if there is a God, he doesn't have anything to do with you. He's far off. We can't know him. And all the while, God came to earth, sent his son, sacrificed his son for us. Yet he's being, people are telling lies left and right, ignorantly and on purpose. Yep. Some people are flat out vehement going against. Yep. All types of reasons. They were hurt somehow. They don't want to have anything. Something failed them in life. They just think they're smarter than everybody else and they got it all figured out. Whatever. All kinds of things. The enemy doesn't care how it comes through, but he's going to work to try to divide us from the reality that is our Father. No, the truth is, he when we didn't do anything right, he loved us and he made the sacrifice. So that ought to say, when we're not doing everything perfect in this life, I'm not saying we go off and do stuff wrong on purpose. The fact is, we're going to mess up. And Satan comes in and said, oh, some Christian you are. You blew it. You're stupid. What will that do? If you buy into that, that'll drive you away from God. What's he trying to do? He's trying to drive a wedge again. If we'll just say, yep, I did, but thank God for the blood of Jesus, I believe I'll just come back to him. Yeah, I missed it. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me, and go right on. Satan does not have any access then.
That's right.
None.
That's right.
Because when I was doing nothing right, he loved me. I'm trying to do the best I know how, and he knows that. You're not in the family anyway. You're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire, so shut up and get out of my life.
Come on.
What's he doing? That'd be like somebody, your neighbor, coming over you and getting in the middle of an argument that you were having in your family and telling you how you ought to be doing this and ought to be doing that. What would you tell him? Like, get off my property. Shut up and go away. You're not in this family. That's what the devil's doing. That's what Satan tries to come. He tries to divide families. He tries to divide people from God and say, well, God's this. Who is he to speak for God?
Amen.
He'll try to impersonate the voice of God. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he'll come to you and, boy, you know, you really could have done that better. And it's condemnation. I'm not saying God won't correct you. He will, but it will always be positive. It will always be like, he'll show you what to do and you know it and say, dude, you can do better. You can do it this way. He'll give you in his word, but he won't beat you up. That's the enemy. Did you know that?
Amen.
This will free some people up. When you start to realize that that voice you think is God is not God, because if it doesn't line up with his word, it's not him. Anything that brings doubt and discouragement, it's not him. So you start feeling discouraged after what you think is God telling you something, it's not him. He may even quote scriptures, but it's not him.
Yeah.
If it doesn't lift you up, it's not God. It's somebody impersonating God trying to get you to go off track. Because you always feel, you think God's a spoil sport? He's sorry, you get in the presence of God, you're going to go out depressed? No. You get in the presence of God, you're going to be lifted up and encouraged.
That's right.
No, he'll lift you up. Does he just overlook stuff? No, he'll come. He'll talk to you like a father, but it'll always be like, yeah, this is what you know you need to be doing. Now do it. You know what to do. And he'll show you the word, but he won't use the word to beat you up left and right. That's not him. That's not him. People that think that way don't know him. But Satan's subtle. He knows what you'll listen to. He knows what I'll listen to. We're all working out, you know. We're all in the process of filtering out the lies that we've been told all our life against him. We're weeding them out saying, no, that's not true. That's called renewing our mind. That's what we're all in the process of doing. All those lies we've been told, by our former father, Satan, about our real father, God. That's called renewing the mind. That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing right now. As we see the word, we're getting rid of some of this junk.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Now let's read down through here. We'll wrap up. Verse 6, verse 5, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Just look at that. Verse 7, in the ages to come. There's ages to come. This isn't it. Ages to come, he might show us the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. That means in heaven, he's just going to keep on pouring it on us.
Right.
We're just going to keep on getting to more. He's just going to show us his kindness and show us his kindness and show us his kindness and just pour. That's why he wants a family that he can love. He wants this family that we're all going to be there. This isn't the last time we're going to see each other in that realm. And we're going to see each other and be there. That's going to be so glorious.
Amen.
Going to have picnics and parties and get to see each other and have each other over. I don't know how it's going to be, but it's going to be good.
Amen.
Verse 8, by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship. He made us. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. He's got a path for us each to go down. He knows what our giftings are because he's given them to us. He has something that he's called us to do while we're here. We have something to do. And it's good. And it's just a ramp up for when we get to heaven. It's going to be even better. Don't have the curse to deal with. Don't have this fallen world to deal with. Thank you, Lord. Somebody said, for unsaved people, the only heaven they're going to experience is on this earth. But for us, the only hell we're going to experience is on this earth. It's just going to get better. Just going to get better. Just going to keep getting better. Thank you. Let's skip down to verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off, that was all of us, we were once all far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. By the blood. Again. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now I want to read, look on your scripture sheet. Let's look at that in the Living Bible. Verse 13, but now you belong to Christ Jesus. And though you once were far away from God, now you have been brought very near to him because of what Jesus Christ has done for you with his blood. For Christ himself is our way of peace. Notice that. Christ himself is our way of peace. Verse 18. Now all of us, whether Jews or Gentiles, may come to God the Father with the Holy Spirit's help because of what Christ has done for us. Because you can't come to God independent of what Christ did for us.
Right.
He is the way. And this is so crucial because there is a big push to say it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you believe. Jesus didn't say that. The Bible doesn't say it. I know it's not politically correct. And this is the bent. This is part of the lie that's being propagated. This is inspired by the enemy. It's okay for you to believe what you want to believe, and it's okay for me to believe what I want to believe. It's okay. Just respect everybody's religion and beliefs. Well, we ought to respect people and not be belligerent. But Jesus did not respect all religions. Do you know that? He frankly said, no, I'm the way.
That's right.
No, I'm it.
That's right.
There's a difference between respecting people and being courteous. But to say it's okay what you believe, I mean, if you're having, and this is totally based on relationship. You don't go, I mean, unless God tells you, you don't go get in somebody's face, they won't listen to you anyway. But if you're having a face-to-face conversation with somebody you have a relationship with, an influence, and you're having a heart-to-heart, and they say, you know, well, I just think, and you're, you know, they want to hear your opinion, you want to hear theirs, I just think, you know, it doesn't matter what we believe as long as we just believe in Him. He knows the difference. And you, if you were to say, well, that's okay, that's fine for you to believe that. If they believe that, they're going to be eternally in hell. Because there is one way in this realm, one way, and that's Jesus' blood. And if somebody doesn't take a hold of that, there is no salvation. It may sound good. It may, people say all this time, oh, it's okay, you know, I just think it's this way. We don't have the right to make up how it's supposed to be. God, there is a way. And it's the only way that's legally right in this world. No other way will cut it. There's a sacrifice that was done on purpose to rescue us from the power of the enemy. And Satan doesn't care if you bring all these other ways because they're counterfeit. And he knows it. If somebody comes and says, well, I believe this and this, he's going to say, ha, that doesn't mean anything legally. Not going to help anybody. Why is there this focus and there's attack on Jesus? Well, don't talk about Jesus. You talk about God. Why? Because you can't come to God except through Him.
That's right.
This is just crucial. And I know we hear it. But it is, we ought not back down and start, we have to recognize that there is a pushback and it is beyond men. It's satanically inspired. That may sound strong, but who else is it coming from?
That's right.
And it's a deception, just like we were talking about if you were deceiving a kid, trying to brainwash him. It sounds good, but in the end it leads to destruction. No, this is the cornerstone of our faith. Without Jesus rising from the dead and without Him being the way, there is no salvation. There is none. This is it. If He would have just died and not come back, not been risen from the dead, He would have just been a footnote. No, He's not in the tomb. He either is the Son of God, and He is who He said He was, and everything in the Bible is true, or it is a falsehood, and we are the stupidest people on the earth. But there's no middle ground. Because if Jesus wasn't who He said He was, He's a liar, it's not true, and we're lost. And somebody else has the truth. This is critical. Amen? But this is why we're looking to Him saying, God, You did this. We don't need to back down in the face because the pressure will increase. It will keep going this way unless something changes and people start listening to Him. But just because there's pressure, just because there's political pressure and you're tempted to say, it doesn't matter. Again, it's different than getting in somebody's face. Nobody necessarily likes that. But standing up and saying, no, this is why I believe this. It is a rational belief because the Bible says it. And God did come. I mean, you can go through. We ought to know what it says. But thank God what he did.
Right.
We are living for Him. Amen?
Amen?
He is good. This is the day we ought to, when we go out of here, just to have it more real in our hearts. This is temporary. Jesus did something for me, and I'm not going to go without everything he provided for me. Yes, I'm saved, but everything else that he provided, it's legally mine, and I'm not going to be talked out of it and deceived any longer. I have some lies in my head. I'm getting rid of them. I'm going to renew them with this word, and I am going to legally take what he paid for, because he paid too high a price for it.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.